Well, Christmas means different things to each one of us. Different people also do different things because of Christmas. And so it brings us down to a very fundamental question, which is, so what is Christmas about? It is about good news. And to get to the heart of what Christmas is really about, we are going to look at the one purpose of Christmas. And the one purpose of Christmas, in this proclamation of the gospel, there are a series of ones that I will bring forward to you to consider this morning. And so we start with one book. There is only one book which definitively tells us what the one purpose of Christmas is, and that is the Bible, or we call it Scripture, or sometimes we call it God's Word. And the Bible tells us that it is the product of the direct breath of God. In fact, His Word states, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So this means that all the words of the Bible are totally God's word and therefore authoritative. Yes, there was human involvement, but the Holy Spirit led these quote-unquote secretaries, ensuring the accuracy of what was recorded. And because of this, the Bible is an accurate, special revelation without error, and so it is true. And so in it, we find the one purpose of Christmas given to us from one God. Who is this one God? God reveals himself to us in this one book, the Bible, that he is uncreated and eternally existing. And here's a short list of God's character. He is the almighty creator of the world and all things. He is the highest authority and power. He is a personal being. He is holy. He is a sovereign. He is righteous and the just judge. And he is the grantor of life and death, physical and eternal. He is eternally unchanging, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present. And God's nature is one. God states, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Who is like me? And so we know that he exists as one God in three persons. This Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Our one God, even before the world was created, planned out the one purpose of Christmas, because he is a loving ruler of the world. His angel proclaimed to the shepherds, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. So this indeed is good news for one race. When God created one race, humankind, the first were Adam and Eve, who were made rulers of the world under God's authority. They were holy and set apart to serve God and given immense freedom to live eternally in a glorious, perfect, and personal relationship with God in his beautiful garden. And this one race had one thing that they needed to obey. And in the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, informs us this, of this, that the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And I want you to just keep this mind, keep in mind this thought or this reality as we go through this sermon, which is that every person is made in God's image. And this means that people possess a soul. Each one of us possesses a soul which is created eternal. And this means that though we die physically or bodily, our soul will never die. So I just want you to keep that in mind as we go through this sermon. The one purpose of Christmas, revealed in one book, given to us by one God, had one race in mind, because in God's foreknowledge, he knew that there would be one problem. We find that one problem in Genesis chapter 3, which tells us this. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. And so we discover that Satan, who is a fallen angel or a sinning angel, or in other words, an unholy angel, appeared in the form of a serpent and went to Eve and tempted her to question, to disbelieve and disobey God's word, and Adam then followed in the same way. And through this single act of disobedience, it brought about the one problem, which is sin. Sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. The one race's perfect and personal relationship with God was now broken, being replaced with destructive consequences. Separation from God in the form of shame, guilt, fear, rebellion, the consequence of physical and spiritual death. So the question I want you to think about this morning is, how does God continue to view humankind? And the one book says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It also says, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God, all have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. And so we all reject and rebel against the ruler God by trying to run life our own way without God. But we fail. We fail to rule ourselves or society or the world. And we therefore justly deserve eternal death in hell. Why? God states, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift, and it is a free gift, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so we understand that we are fully responsible for our sin before our one God. And that is the bad news of Christmas. Often we think of Christmas in a very joyful light, but there is bad news, and that is the bad news. We are sinners, condemned to hell. But without bad news, there is no good news. It's bad news because if we don't understand our hopeless, sinful, disobedient, and broken relationship with God, then we will continue to reject God's one purpose of Christmas. But because God is loving, compassionate, merciful upon our helpless state, So in his undeserved grace, he alone also offers to us that good news, the gospel. That's what the gospel means. It is good news. The good news of Christmas. And so there is hope in the midst of your sin through one solution. God states, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." However, as you understand, as we read from the scripture, no person born on the face of earth is holy, but instead a sinner without a relationship with God. Yet in and of ourselves, we cannot rid ourselves of our one problem, sin, and therefore please God. It is impossible to save ourselves, and we are in a helpless and condemned state. There is no way that we can generate peace with God, for we are unholy. Yet this is what God did for all of us. He provided something we could not do or earn. He provided the one solution. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The one solution is the one purpose of Christmas, the gift of God's one Savior. And who is this one Savior? Our one God in his one book is clear that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And the one book foretells the coming of our one Savior and explains who he is. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The second part of the Bible, the New Testament, gives us these revelations of truth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In addition, the scripture tells us, "Behold, the virgin Mary shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. And that is so amazing, that while we were still yet sinners, God sent Jesus Christ into this world, God with us, Emmanuel. And that's why we rejoice. That's why we celebrate Christmas. That is why we worship our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, a man born on earth being the one Savior, Jesus Christ, God with us. The man, Jesus, the one Savior, is eternally God the Son, the creator of all things, and he is the only source of life. And as such, we are subject to him because he has divine authority over us. He is our creator. And therefore, our one Savior's mission and nature was unique in that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. Our one Savior was perfect God and perfect man. Our one God sent his perfect and sinless Son, the one Savior, into this world as the one purpose of Christmas, the man Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. And because of this, Jesus Christ is solely the one Savior who can forgive you of your one problem, which is sin, and change you and deliver you from your sin and guilt and God's wrath. The perfect one solution to take away sin had to be perfectly sinless in order to grant you a right relationship with God. True salvation is found only in a personal relationship with our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. For there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And the Bible repeatedly, from cover to cover, points to the one purpose of Christmas, that through one book, our one God gave to one race and showed us our one problem, sin, and provided us with his one solution through his one Savior, Jesus Christ, upon one cross. The one purpose of Christmas, the gift of Jesus Christ, leads to the purposeful necessity of Jesus' death on the one cross. And this is utterly important because Jesus became our perfect sacrifice for our sins, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. And this was God's loving, foreordained plan. So at the precise time, he made him, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And so Jesus always lived sinlessly under God's rule. Jesus voluntarily took the place of sinners and gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. As Jesus willingly lay dying on the cross in our place, he took our punishment we deserve for our unpayable debts of sin against God. We could do nothing to change our total depraved state before God, nor were we able to satisfy or even avert God's wrath against our offensive sins against God. But this is the good news. But Jesus Christ, who is God the Son, he brought about God's one solution, his total, unmerited forgiveness and restoration, realized through one cross, reconciling all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. We talk a lot about peace at Christmas, particularly. But this peace brought about by the cross, by Jesus Christ's death, it is the kind of peace that at Jesus' birth, the heavenly host declared, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." The ones that God is pleased with are those who have been predestined to be redeemed by Jesus Christ. And in this, only those who are saved by Christ receive the righteousness of Christ. That God therefore no longer sees us, the sinner, but instead he sees the righteousness, the glorious righteousness, the radiant righteousness of Christ. Instead, and he sees the righteousness of his Son credited only to the saved. The saved are reconciled to God, eternally forgiven for our sins, never to be punished, receiving an undeserved full pardon, whereas they would have been doomed, wretched sinners, condemned to eternity in hell. That is our reality. Not only did Jesus die on the cross, but he experienced one resurrection. that in God's power, God raises Jesus to life again on the third day after he was buried as a ruler and judge. Jesus has conquered death. He alone now gives new life, and he will return to judge. Christmas is the beginning. Christ has come, and Christ will come again to judge all of us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 states, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And so equally important is that Christ was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead according to the Spirit of holiness. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scripture. And this one resurrection of Jesus from the dead is important because no other person in history has been bodily resurrected, never to die again. All people have died. Their bodies still remain in the grave. But Jesus Christ not only died, but he rose from the dead. And this one resurrection of the man Jesus Christ from the dead, our one Savior, demonstrated that he was victorious over the sting of death. And through the resurrection of Jesus, God demonstrated powerfully that he accepted Christ's death in our place, us, the sinner, confirming the one solution. And this took place because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God has given us a gift, his Son, to die for our sins, so that we might be free to live for him. Jesus Christ loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. With God's revelation, there must be one response. And so where does that leave you this morning? Well, there are two ways to live in this world in light of the one purpose of Christmas. A, live your own way. And that means you continue to reject the ruler God. You reject God's one purpose of Christmas and the one Savior, Jesus Christ, and you continue to try to live and run your life your own way, not God's way. And the result is that you remain condemned by God, waiting to face judgment and the just sentence of eternal death in hell forever. Or you can live this way. Live God's way, that you accept God's one purpose of Christmas, the one Savior, Jesus Christ, through repenting. That word repenting means a change of mind. A change of mind toward your sin, that you submit to Jesus as your authority and ruler in daily obedience, that you rely upon Jesus' death, his life, his death, his ministry, and his resurrection. And the result is that you are forgiven by God, given all the positive realities of the one purpose of Christmas, the total forgiveness of our one problem, the unpayable debt of sin, and receiving eternal life with God forever through the one Savior, Jesus Christ alone. So I want you to think this morning, to seriously think, which of these represent the way that you want to live? there is also something that you need to consider, and that is one commitment. Mark chapter 8 states this: "What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul?" That statement by Jesus really gets to the heart of who we are in this world. What are you chasing after? Is it wealth? Is it recognition? Is it self-satisfaction? What is it? And so the one book alerts us that following Jesus is a hard and narrow road. Salvation is a free gift from God, yet Jesus' message of salvation is accompanied by many hard demands. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, "He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world shall keep it to eternal life." "If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall my servant also be. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." The implications of being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ must be thought through carefully, because it is part of the gospel that we need to understand, that we need to count the cost of following Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 16, said, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And so Jesus clearly states in the Gospels that his true disciples follow him wholeheartedly, humbly, that we set our own interests aside for his glory. We sacrificially serve him, and ultimately placing your life on the line for him, which might even mean dying for Christ. Being saved does not always make your life easier, but you can have true peace in all circumstances, as the scripture declares, "For he himself is our peace." Peace rests upon the person of Christ and knowing him. This peace is anchored in the reality of an eternal hope in Christ, enjoying God's presence and his blessings. It is sad to say that many people have come to Christ to get healthy or wealthy. They have come to Christ as a fix-it-all. Some have come to Christ to add him to their many false gods as an insurance policy. And therefore, many have reduced the gospel to a quote-unquote genie in a bottle. Many preachers have reduced the gospel to almost nothing. But this is the gospel. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. What we must understand is that the cross was the ultimate denial of self and the call for utter humility and sacrifice, forsaking all for Christ. Having a life centered on God's things, living our lives his way, the way that he originally made us before Adam and Eve sinned. True disciples of Jesus cannot live the way they were before being saved and yet think they are also following Christ. Salvation is not a fruitless profession, nor is it merely a momentary decision one makes at a certain point of time in a person's life. It is true, the true gospel working in a person who is saved is a long, lifelong response of submission of your whole person in obedience to Christ with our mind, heart, and will, being led and transformed by the Spirit of God. Because it is not about us, but our loving God is the one who empowers us, the sinner, our sinful wills, to receive him, to count the cost, and to make an across-the-board forsaking of everything that we previously trusted in. And so that takes us back to one response. John 3:36. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. But he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. This morning you are presented with a response to God's word, which is to repent. And by faith, a faith that is given to us by Christ, grace which is shown by Christ to us sinners, to believe in Jesus Christ the Savior, the one purpose of Christmas. Christmas is about a person, and that is Jesus. Romans 10 states, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. The reality is this, that because life is brief, God's initiation and message of salvation is important, and it is also urgent. At the acceptable time, I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If you understand, if you're here this morning, and we're thankful that you're here this morning, there's no mistake you're here this morning. God doesn't make mistakes. And if you understand all of what has been proclaimed today in this one book about how we really are, and our one God is drawing your heart to his only Son, you can respond by talking to God, even as where you're sitting this morning, to respond to God, his good news, the gospel. By talking to God, our God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. This one race includes you, includes me. It's all of us. There's only one race. Because there are only two kinds of people, the godly and ungodly. Of these two kinds of people, there are the righteous because of Christ, and there are the unrighteous because of self and sin. And then these two kinds of people in this one race, there is the forgiven and there is the condemned. There is the saved, and there is the unsaved. There are those who live in heaven, blessed forever, and there are those who will live in unquenchable torment in hell forever. That is a reality of the gospel. Yet, our gracious God and our just God lovingly commands you, if you do not know Christ as your Lord and Savior, commands you to sincerely repent of your sin and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And you are to seek his forgiveness for your sins, by his undeserved mercy alone. You can tell him you agree with him that what he has told us about our one problem, asking him to change your mind about your love and view of sin which offends him, our holy and just God, our loving God, our creator God, our King God, and that you will submit to his one solution and authority over you and obey him on all things by faith alone in our one Savior Jesus Christ alone. And if you do that sincerely, don't worry about the words. The result is that he will cleanse you from your guilt. He, in his mercy, will free you from the power of sin that reigns in you. Because through one cross, Jesus died in your place to pay your penalty of sin, which you cannot pay at all. What can a sinner bring to a holy God? All we can bring is dirty, filthy rags. And so, I plead and urge you, if you are not in Christ this morning, is to believe upon the one resurrection where Jesus won the victory over death, proving that he has prepared a place for his righteous ones who will be resurrected to eternal life. And if you have acted upon the one response, which is to live God's new way, a God-honoring way, I ask you, encourage you, please share that with myself or Pastor Tommy or Elder Gary or Sam, or maybe the person that brought you here this morning, so that we can rejoice with you, we can pray with you, and we can encourage you and help you to grow in your one commitment to Jesus Christ as a born-again believer. Or maybe this morning you still have questions or want to learn more about the Bible. And we also encourage you to do the same. Come and talk to one of us. Let us help you. Ask us questions. We had those same questions probably, just as you do also, because of the grace of God. And so this morning, may God richly bless you this Christmas. And may you receive the radiant blessings of the one purpose of Christmas, that Christ, may he have all the glory. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for you are the Word. And you also give us your Word, the Gospel. And so we are so thankful that the message is so clear. It is undeniable. Praise be to God that many of us here this morning are born again because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray this morning that you, our Father in heaven, would draw any this morning that you have called to salvation this day. And I pray for those here this morning that who have questions. It is all right to have questions. And Lord, we pray that through your Spirit and through your Word, that you will answer those questions and that you will draw our friends, our family, to the true knowledge of Christ, to come to the knowledge of the truth. Lord, for us who are born again, thank you for reminding us of our immense inheritance of the gospel. And Lord, as this year wraps up, might the gospel be at the forefront of our minds. Because how can people hear? How can the gospel be preached if we do not take it to the lost? And so, Lord, thank you for stirring our hearts this morning. Thank you for your eternal word. Thank you for your grace and for your love. And it is through Christ our Lord that we pray. Amen.